Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Please be seated. Please pray with me. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Although there are similarities to John's gospel, which is said to be written by the beloved disciple assumed to be John, Zebedee, the son of Zebedee, the writer of the epistle of 1 John is unknown. Our scripture from 1 John presents God as love. In other words, God loves us by forgiving us, blessing us, and dying for us through Jesus Christ. The scripture reveals the truth that because God sent Jesus to us in love, therefore we must become like Jesus by living through that love and unselfishly pouring forth God's love to others. Listen now to God's word for us today. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus the Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. The word of our Lord. That was 1 John 3, 16 through 24. Her name was Michelle. A few summers ago, a Saturday in mid-July, I came home from my shift at the hospital, pulled into my garage, and proceeded to get out of my car, walk across the street to pick up my mail. It was a stifling 95 degrees outside. As I walked back up the driveway, I noticed that my front screen porch door was ajar, and I saw a woman's sandal lying in the gravel. I walked up to the door for a closer look. Then I noticed a foot sticking out of the door. I opened the door to find a woman who was either dead or she had passed out on my porch. Okay, Lynn, take a breath. Be ready to start CPR on this woman. I suddenly clicked into respiratory therapist mode, which has been my profession for 25 plus years. I asked God, I said, okay, God, help me here. Ma'am, are you okay? Her facial color was ashen, and she was breathing. That was good. She wasn't dead. Ma'am, I said, why are you lying here? Are you sick? Are you hurt? She stirred, and she managed to speak a few garbled words that I couldn't understand. And then I heard some profanities, and she tried to get up, only to fall back down and hit her head on the tile. Ugh. This wasn't good. Ma'am, stay down. She was either diabetic or she was confused and lost her way, perhaps. Ma'am, why are you sleeping on my porch? Then I wondered if I was in danger. Was she a decoy for someone who may be lurking in the shadows? Thieves, perhaps? She spoke. She spoke again, this time asking a question. Were you at the party? Bingo, she was drunk. I admit that I was ticked off at that time. I had two choices. I could call 911, get the police involved, get the whole matter off my hands, or I could try to help her. I reminded myself that I'm a caregiver. This is what caregivers do. They help people. I looked at her a bit closer this time. She was good looking, nicely dressed, painted nails, diamond rings on her left finger, pretty hair, a purse, and a beautiful cross necklace. Ma'am, give me a reason I shouldn't call the police right now. I felt vulnerable. Do you have family or someone I can call for you? She said she must have lost her cell phone somewhere. She told me she was an alcoholic, and she did not attend her AA meeting that morning, but opted to go to a party. She admitted that was a big mistake. Call my husband, she says. She finally gave me the correct number after many times to remember. I called him. He wasn't happy. We waited for well over 30 minutes for him to show up. Called him again. Where are you? He lived just minutes from me. Obviously, he was in no big hurry. After a while, he drove up the driveway. Clearly, he was angry, and yes, appeared extremely embarrassed. He shoved her in the front seat of his truck, uttered a thank you, and they drove off. End of story, as I know it. But what I will say is while Michelle and I waited, we talked a little. I encouraged her not to miss any more meetings. I gave her water. I reminded her that she is a child of God. The cross she is wearing reminds us of the love of Jesus Christ, which is for all people. Christ forgives us no matter how many times we have gone off track. As long as we believe in Christ, it is that forgiveness which gives strength for the facing of our days. It gives us hope that one day we will be with him for eternity. The Easter message is the love of God taking action through Jesus Christ. Before Michelle's husband arrived, I prayed with her, and I promised to pray for her recovery. To this day, I still don't know the circumstances as to why she landed on my porch, of all places, on that particular day. I suppose I'll never know why she came. I still think the case of think of the case of Michelle, and I wonder how I showed love that day, how my love for her took action. I admit that at first I was frightened and then perturbed. After all, I just came home from work. How dare anybody inconvenience me after a long, hard day at the hospital where I help people all day long? One major theme of this passage of 1 John is the idea that we cannot love God and ignore those in need. Christ's capacity to transcend his own self-interest is expected to be replicated in the Christian. Sure, we all say, I love others and I want to help feed and care for the sick and the homeless and the hungry. It's one thing to say, I love you. It's another thing to live out, I love you. What about loving someone so deeply that you would die for them, like Jesus? Sure, we may say we would die for our children, moms, dads, sure we would. Or could dying mean for us putting our comfort zone to death, accepting rejection, speaking out for the voiceless, being an advocate to the disposed? John tells us, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Jesus' death is God's extreme example of love poured out. We have been loved so deeply and profoundly, in an all-encompassing way by God. Therefore, we are called to lay down our lives for others. As human beings, it may be difficult to grasp God's all-encompassing love that we were born into just by being created as human beings. How blessed are we just to be born? In John's Gospel, Jesus talks about his physical death on the cross, where he states, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. Love taking action for us. Jesus died because he wanted to show the full extent of God's love for us. Our scripture continues, how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother and sister in need yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. There's a line in Shakespeare's Two Gentlemen of Verona, which says, they do not love that do not show their love. John said that we may say that we love others, but if we do not show love by action, then we do not love. Like Jesus, we can leave our comfortable life as we knew it, as we know it, and take on a servant's heart. Wash the feet of the homeless, the diseased, the drunkard, the afflicted, the grief-stricken, the drug addict. To love God is to serve others, like his Son, the servant Jesus. Because God loves us and because God sent his only begotten Son to die for a sin-afflicted society, therefore we are commanded to love others in word and deed. Simple as that. Or is it as simple as that? You see, 1 John was addressing the climate of the early church, whose society was full of tension and turmoil. This upheaval resulted in confusion, hesitation, and loss of confidence. Much of this tension and turmoil is true today, is it not? We certainly mirror these feelings of confusion, turmoil, and loss of confidence. It is not easy to step out of our comfortable existence and enter into a wilderness of broken people. A major truth which John proclaims is that God is the originator of love. It is God alone who takes the initiative, not us. Without God's initiative, there would be no love to the dimension that we experience in our lives. God's love is total, unconditional, constant, a free gift. The love that abides in us is not of our creation, but from a source beyond our own creation. This love from God is not some ethereal or mystical feeling. 1 John asserts strongly that this love can be known because God came to abide in us in the very person of Jesus, the promised Messiah, the Son of God, who not only teaches, but lives out the full implications of the amazing grace and love of God in the very midst of our everyday lives. The tendency for us is to rest in the assurance and shalom of the love of God and have it stop there. Perhaps the most uncomfortable truth is that the rest in shalom does not end with us. This love is not something to be hoarded. Verse 23 says, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this, we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit he has given us." One of the greatest gifts to me during my time of profound grief was to travel on mission to the poorest of the poor, the people of Uspantan, Guatemala. This was my first experience of truly being the hands and feet of Christ. To say this mission was life-changing is true for me. I learned great lessons while in the presence of the native people. Perhaps the greatest lesson for me was that they were the ones who showed me what the love of Christ truly is. I saw Christ in the faces of the men, women, and children of Guatemala. The Spirit of God abides in us and in them. It does not matter who we are, where we live, we are one in Christ, and we love as God commands us to do. This leads me to the words of a hymn that describes the wondrous love of God in Jesus Christ. "Oh, what wondrous love is this, oh my soul, what wondrous love is this, oh my soul. What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreaded curse for my soul? What wondrous love is this?" My friends in Jesus Christ, we are called to love in boldness and in truth because of God's wondrous love for us. We are called to action, to live out that wondrous love in the name of Almighty God, who is love. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand as we sing, "May the Mind of Christ, My Savior," verses 1, 2, and 5 in your hymnal, page 560.